Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Happy Monday, Cleveland. Kobe Altman speaking today. End of year presser, wrapping up the Cavs' disappointment of a 2025 playoffs. The Browns continue to trudge on with no certain answer. A quarterback and the Guardians in action tonight. We'll react to them later on in the show as well. A lot to get to. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime from 7 to 11. We got Jax Gregory running the board as well. You heard her on the 2020 Zoom Work Behind the Glass. Mackenzie Flume with us today. It was an interesting weekend where I had plans to go. And, you know, I wanted to do something interesting this weekend. I wanted to do something fun. So buddy and I plan go out, go to amusement parks, roller coasters, go to Cedar Point. Always an enjoyable time. Love it there. You know, and Cedar Point, one of our advertisers on the station. And again, it's obviously not going to say a bad word about them, but I also do truly enjoy the experience. This weekend was just a flop overall because I go out there and I'm like, all right, you know, we're going to do this, you know, a new roller coaster. Going to go ride a Top Thrill 2 over there. Going to have some fun. And we get there, beautiful day out, high 60s, and it just happens to be windy, which also happened to have like the top seven coasters down for the day. Aside from, we got to ride Maverick, which I really enjoy, and then one of the smaller rides as well. And that was it. That was my day at Cedar Point. Everything else happened to be down, and I only got the opportunity to stay for, you know, a total of like 4 hours before it was like, well, it's none of this is working. When most of the rides that you can walk right onto then have three-hour waits, well, it feels like a not-so-great day to be there. It was perfectly fine. And like I said, no knock to Cedar Point. You know, I thought it was a very nice day. I have no professional opinion. So I'm like, hey, why aren't these things running? I'm sure there's good reason, as in like my life and the safety of the other thousands upon thousands of people there. But I was there and I wanted to ride something. And Cedar Point took care of it. You know, I'll be back another day this year. Got some a little bonus stuff as well to go on for the next trip. So it was good. I enjoyed it. But that's a flop of a day, right? I drive out a couple hours, get down there, and then just nothing. Just nothing. I was hoping his first roller coaster rides of the season. Was hoping for a lot, got a whole lot of nothing. And so that was ultimately relatively disappointing. And then that was like the entirety of my Saturday. It was like, well, so that happened. What do we do now? And that led to, well, you know, we'll go back, hang out, do a whole lot of nothing, and then go home. Okay. All right. Well, solid day. Got to hang out with a friend, got to spend a lot of time with my friend doing a whole lot of nothing. It was a good experience, but ultimately a flop of a weekend. So we come back and obviously are amped to talk sports and amped to hear what Kobe Altman has to say on a Monday. And where you get me? Get me excited for the Cavs. Let me in on a little something. We're not afraid to shake things up. We're going to do whatever's best for this team, right? And I'm fine if you keep the core four together. If that's the ultimately, you know, you feel like that's the best move. But I'm also open to not keeping the core four together if you can manipulate the aprons and the luxury tax to properly fit what you want to do. It's up to you. You do what you want to do. Whatever you decide's best for the team, I'll probably heavily criticize and judge and talk about on the air for hours upon hours. And I mean, there's just no way avoiding that. Keep them, don't keep them. I'm still going to talk about it. But I did think some of the things that Kobe Altman had to say were pretty interesting today. And taking a very positive approach to where he sees with his Cavs team, including when he went through and talked about where this team can make fixes, which I don't know that I entirely agree with.
Everyone saw the level of basketball we were playing this year. Some of the best basketball in the world. And so can we get to those heights in the playoffs? And that's the question that's going to linger. I think it's going to fuel us. We have the belief from top down. We have incredible culture, our guys. This is genuine. We have everyone that wants to be in Cleveland, right? This is what we created here. That's genuine. So it makes it easier. We got to get better on the court. All our stuff is great. It's the 94 feet that we know. That's what we need to tackle.
So, like, you go through and you say something like that. I don't doubt that, you know, the people in Cleveland want to be in Cleveland. I didn't look at this roster and go, well, you know, some of the conversations we had during the playoffs of, like, does Darius Garland really want to be out there? Does Evan Mobley, DeAndre Hunter, do these guys really want to be out there and playing for the playoffs? I think we had that answered within the last two games, despite not actually going through and winning them and, you know, at some points in game 4 and 5 getting embarrassed. I don't think that was for a lack of effort, a lack of trying on the Cavs' part. Certainly not. You went out there, you battled through injury, you played, but clearly you come up short. And like I said, the 2025 playoffs was a disappointment. Nobody was happy with the result that came out and landed the Cavs where they were. So when Kobe Altman goes and then drops something like, oh, well, it's the 94 feet that we have to get better. It's on the floor. Okay, well, it can be on the floor and also then at times not include the guys that are sitting right in front of you. Where it sounded like the way that he laid it up, no, we got everybody here. It's just a matter of figuring it out on the floor and actually making everything work. And, you know, maybe that's an incorrect read on what Kobe's saying, but it does sound that way. It does sound like, well, the roster and everything in place, we have everybody here that wants to be here, that we want here. We just have to figure out how to put it all together. Like, no, you figured out how to put it all together. That was evident in the regular season. It has nothing to do with the pieces and the parts and this team being able to play basketball. I know they can play basketball. It's when the moment gets tough, when the pressure rises, then what do?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
And those are the questions where I then have to, you know, draw some questions. And what leads me to believe Kobe's also thinking along those lines is that he wants to keep the core four together was what he said in regards to, hey, the team we have, the ages we have, and what our plans are moving forward.
We've seen great growth, and it started, you know, from 22 wins to 44 wins. You saw Evan as a rookie, Darius take a big step, and Jared take a big step, and then we go out and get Donovan Mitchell, and that sort of jump starts your championship trajectory. And now it's time to really take off. Yeah, we have patience because we keep knocking on that door. I want to be in that space where we're the final 8 teams, we're the final 4 teams, and if we don't get it done, there's a level of disappointment, and we have the talent to do it, we have the youth to do it, so this is going to be a long runway.
So the problem I have there is like, yeah, I want to be the final 4, the final 8 teams, and when we don't get it done, it's a disappointment. I think everybody around Cleveland is kind of sick of the disappointment, the sick of the high expectations and then not getting it done. Like, we're waiting for the next step to get it done. Right? Because you even go back and flashback to J.B. Bickerstaff being the coach 2 years ago. That season as a whole, the result that you found, like the ending, saying I lost in the Eastern Conference Finals to the eventual champion of the NBA, is not a failure for that season. That was a relatively solid result. It's about where you were expected to finish. It's the way that you got there in the playoffs. You obviously take the end of the regular season and say, okay, we're okay playing the Orlando Magic and basically throwing away the last game of the season to nearly ensure that that happens. Give me Orlando. I want to go down and actually play the team here rather than getting seated up against one of the other teams that we think might have a better chance. Orlando forces you seven games. Has two of your players basically walked out hurt or on the line in tow to getting hurt. And then you bow out in five games. Okay, so you had no chance to go and beat Boston. That was the disappointing part. You got pushed to the limits with an Orlando team that everybody felt you were better against. And then this year, clearly being the number one seed, wanting to push further, having higher expectations. Yes, you're disappointed, but I'm sick of the disappointment. I'm sick of getting to the playoffs and not being satisfied with what the result in those few games that you get to play ends up being. The Cavs played nine games in the playoffs. They went 5-4. That's a team that won 64 games this year. So yeah, I'm glad that fans are disappointed and we're not all just smiling and happy we're along for the ride. But there also comes a point where the disappointment has to be over. Like, we have to be past the disappointment, and you can't just keep riding out disappointment after disappointment. Again, maybe it's possible to hold it together. Maybe there is another step for the core four playing there. That's going to have to be a Kobe Altman decision, and that's going to have to be, I think, a big talk in the Kenny Atkinson department, too, of, hey, what do you think you can get out of these guys? But I can't just sit back and be like, well, I'm happy fans are disappointed. No, I think I'd be happy if fans are disappointed if you played a seven-game series in the Eastern Conference Finals and ended up losing. It's like, well, you're on the doorstep to an NBA Finals appearance. Then it's like, okay, I get we're disappointed. But guys, seven games in the Eastern Conference Finals wouldn't be all that crazy, right? Like, if you get a one seed and you push it to the brink right before the finals, you're upset the Cavs didn't get there, but I don't think the season's a total loss and a total failure. So I listen to Kobe talk, and then listening to our station across the day, our good friend you can hear on our show from time to time, Spencer Davies over with Cleveland Cavaliers on SI, was on with Nick and JP on Afternoon Drive today, and I think laid out the exact issue that I have with everything that Kobe Altman said today.
You can't just look at the same stuff that you've been looking at for the last few years. You have to own it, and I think you have to also have the awareness that this is not where you were last year or 2 years ago. You are in a completely different area. His words saying that this is new to us, that we're, you know, top of the East, and you have to be able to take the good with the bad. And I think that it's something that he'll get better at, but I still think it was just a little too optimistic for me today.
It's, again, exactly that. Too optimistic. You have too much of a smile on your face being like, well, this was new territory. Being the one seed in the East and holding the pressure on your shoulders of being the team to beat is new territory. Walking into the playoffs and trying to beat teams that you are simply better than, because let's be real, you can look at the rosters on paper, you can look at the way they played all year long, the Cavs were better than the Indiana Pacers. They just were. We all thought it going into this series. Nobody said, this is a 50-50 matchup. It's Indiana's a good team, but the Cavs are better and the Cavs should win. That's the way it should have played out. You should be taking care of the teams that you're better than in the playoffs. That's not new territory. That's been happening in the NBA and should have been happening in the NBA and along with the Cavs for years and years. So I'm not taking the new territory conversation. 216-474-0092. Was Kobe Altman too optimistic about the chances with the team and keeping the core four together? You can also get to me on X, at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C. Jake, swing into our social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. A lot coming up for you guys today, as always. We'll talk to Jackson Flickinger of Fear the Sword coming up at 9:20, what he thought about what Kobe had to say today, as well as we always do. Station Buzz coming your way in about 25 minutes at 7:40. We'll get to Get a Grip at 9 o'clock. We'll bring in Mackenzie Flume later on for You Gotta Pick One as well. But right now, 216-474-0092. Is Kobe Altman too optimistic about the team's chances with keeping the core four together? With your calls and more coming up on this in about 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan, asking you at 216-474-0092. Was Kobe Altman too optimistic about the team's chances with keeping this core four together? which, like, again, I think there's a world that you live in where you look at the core four, you look at the performance that they put out, the injuries they suffered this year, and say, yeah, okay, with another couple leaps, this team could be better. But I think at some point, reality has to set in. Right? If you're the Cavs, you're not just chasing, well, we want to be in the Hall of Very Good. Right? We want this team to go down as one of the good teams in the Eastern Conference by the time that this window is closed. You're searching for a championship. And if you tell me and you make me look at this roster and go, the way that they played this year and the way they performed in the playoffs, is that team capable of rising to the occasion? I think there's certainly question marks. And I think there's a world where you get it done because of, again, where I watched them play all regular season. I watched them dominate in the fashion that they did. But at the same time, that means that your fix has to be, well, you got to get the guys to perform in the playoffs. When players are out there and attempting to play at their highest, they have to perform in the playoffs, injured or not injured. You have to come out and play to a standard. You have to have an expectation that you have to live up to. And the Cavs have repeatedly failed that expectation. Now, I think safe to say, 3 years in a row, between losing to the Knicks, the seven-game series, and losing to the Celtics, and then again this year against the Indiana Pacers. If it was just this year and you had just constructed the core four, you probably do get a little leeway and say, all right, injuries were a problem. But time and time again, you've seen this team come up short. And if it's, hey, we have to work on the mental toughness, we have to work on our ability to perform in the playoffs, your window's only so big, right? Donovan's only going to be the current iteration of Donovan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Donovan Mitchell for so long, and he can't carry the weight of the world on his shoulders. And I don't know that's something you teach. I really don't. I don't know that guys just learn to perform on the biggest of stages. Watching Darius Garland and watching Jared Allen time after time go into the playoffs and not put up the performance that you're expecting, and really doing the little things wrong. Like, we can look at Darius and be like, well, you know, the toe was clearly bothering him, which I fully believe. There are multiple times where you saw him grab at it, and it wasn't even necessarily contact-related. Like, it was a problem. There were also times that I watched Darius Garland blow by his defender, get straight to the rim, and smoke a layup. Sorry, that's not on the toe. It's on keeping your composure in big moments. It's performing and rising to the occasion. And I just don't know you can teach that. Which again leads me to ask you at 216-474-0092. Was Kobe Altman too optimistic about the team's chances with keeping the core four together? Let's go out to the phones. Let's talk to Lance is in Painesville. What's going on, Lance?
Hey, what's going on, Jake?
Nothing much, man. What do you got?
I was just like been having little debates with my friends before the playoffs even started. That thing where, you know, Indiana had to, they won the season series. And I know the last game of the season, we sat a lot of people, but Rick Carlisle is the champion coach, and the Pacers did go to the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Yep.
And so, you know, you got two smallish backcourt that we got injuries. I think we were over-optimistic. There's been a lot of teams that wind up with the best record in their conference. Look at all those years that we saw the Toronto Raptors, Atlanta Hawks, and that's a different story because LeBron played against those teams. But at the same time, just because you finished with the best record in your conference doesn't mean you got a clear path. Cause all year long, I've been hearing about Boston, 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 Boston. Only team we got to worry about is Boston. And I'm like, obviously, the Indiana Pacers and Cleveland Cavaliers have played against each other 8 times, playoffs and regular season, and the Pacers had got a 6-2 record against the Cavs, which means obviously there's a matchup problem with the Cavaliers playing against the Pacers. And it don't matter what seed the Pacers are, there's a matchup problem. I mean, you got a small backcourt. You don't really have a deep threat jump shooter, Mitchell sometimes, but, you know, you can't depend on three-pointers. Only one team in NBA history has depended on three-pointers to win a championship, and that's Golden State with Steph. So Cleveland, I know people don't want to hear that, but you might have to tweak and make some trades in the core four. You might have to. I know teams do it all the time. We see teams all the time. They break up their teams to get better. Yeah. Cleveland might have to do that. I say they might have to do that. So if they do, you know, people are just going to have to settle for it. But the problem is it's going to be hard to move those players in the core four to another team.
Yeah, I mean, with the contracts and stuff that they're on, Lance, it definitely gets difficult, and I appreciate the call. I think that, again, like, I think this team is capable of relying on the three, though. Like, the way that they've built it, guys, I think, and Kobe mentioned it in his presser today, I think it's second in all-time most efficient offense in NBA history. The offense is capable of functioning the way that they were. The problem was that you had guys go down, the offense changed, and then they just were not actually hitting shots for the life of them in that Indiana series down the stretch when guys got back. Like, you have three-point shooters. You have guys that can hit shots. Evan Mobley was a capable three-point shooter this year, more than he was, I mean, a good three-point shooter this year. Darius Garland, capable of shooting the three. Donovan, Max Strus, Sam Merrill. I mean, the list goes on. Isaac Okoro, for crying out loud, in the regular season was good enough at shooting the three and then didn't show up into the playoffs. It's a matter of getting guys to rise that occasion for me. And the Pacers do present a matchup problem. And I think looking at them in the way that they're similarly built to the Cavs, yes, like it obviously, if they come out and they're hot and they shoot the ball well, they're going to perform. They're going to rise to that occasion. They're going to play well. But there's also something on the table there, I think, where you look at it and you have to double back to like, okay, it can be a matchup problem, but the talent level there is different. You have more talented players than the Pacers do. That's just flat out to me. I can look at those rosters and look up and down them and say, okay, I feel very confident. As I did prior to the series against Indiana, I said, okay, the Cavs are just a better team on paper, and you should be able to out-talent this one and win the series alone. They didn't because they failed to rise to that. I think this is a lot more than just shaking things up, but a true mentality issue. Which is why, like, I listened to Kobe talk about keeping it together and holding this team right where they are and these expectations and the clips that we played for you and continue to hold that tone throughout his end of season press conference. And I'm trying to find where. Where is the optimism around the team that he feels so happily about the direction that they're moving? The regular season was great, but I think where all Cavs fans get frustrated is the regular season's great, but the playoffs don't live up to the expectation. You're a different team when they roll around. It's a lot harder to fix. BP's in Pepper Pike. What's going on, BP?
Hey, Jake. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How about you?
Doing well. I've been out of town on vacation, so I went basically Wednesday morning after the Cavs lost, so I haven't been here to hear all this, you know, back and forth. And, you know, I thought Kobe Altman did a pretty good job today. Nobody really pressed him about the injuries. And, you know, to me, every year this team is bitten by injuries. It's almost like they limp to the finish line and lose. So it's like, you know, Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, Jared Allen last year, Mobley, you know, now, you know, DeAndre Hunter. Now some of the injuries, you know, I felt when Mathurin smacked, you know, DeAndre Hunter, that was a flagrant foul. So, you know, that wasn't, DeAndre Hunter really wasn't the same after that happened. He just looked like a shell of himself. And, you know, Garland did look himself. Then, of course, Donovan Mitchell, you know, was injured. And so I'm concerned about this team. I just don't think they have the toughness, like the physical toughness, to make it through a season and make it through you got to win 16 games to win a championship. And really, I just don't think they have what it takes. I mean, I just think there's something missing here. And I think they're going to have to, you know, I like the talent of Garland, but he never seems to make it to the finish line, and he's really little. I mean, he's always, you know, he's not a muscular guard like Donovan Mitchell. And you can see, like, the Portland Trail Blazers, They never went anywhere with those two guards, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. The LA Clippers, when they had Chris Paul and, you know, JJ Redick, never went anywhere. So the small guard thing, you look at OKC now, you know, they've got taller guys, you know. So I just don't know if this small guard thing is going to work. And I almost think Kobe Altman's always like a year behind. Like, he should have brought in the small forward a year ago, and he waited, and then he brought in, you know, DeAndre Hunter now. Now he's probably going to be, you know, he really should have gotten rid of Garland, you know, a year ago. Now he's going to get pennies on the dollar. So this team is a good regular season team. I just don't think they have what it takes to win in the playoffs. I don't think they have the tough guys, the mental toughness and the physical toughness to get it done. What do you think?
And BP, I think it's a good point, and I appreciate the call as always. I think that there's some degree to it, and Kobe addressed it in his end of season press conference, which I thought it was interesting. I do actually want to play it back because it also rubbed me the wrong way that he talked about this, because it just didn't make a ton of sense to me. Here's what Kobe said.
The question is, how are we healthy in the playoffs? That's more of a bigger question, and nobody has a crystal ball to that. We figured out how to be healthy heading into that playoffs this year. The final four teams have zero players missing from the rotation. We need to figure that out, because on the margins, we can't have all-stars being out or half healthy.
And that's just something that, like, is Kobe tries to draw the line of, what, we just have to figure out how to be healthy in the playoffs. Guys, there's no secret remedy. There's nothing that builds you to, well, this team just has to be healthy. There's two factors that go into it. One, injuries are part of the game. They just happen naturally. And you had a couple guys who have had a couple of bad breaks. It's not like every year, maybe aside from, like, if you looked at Donovan and the calf strain, that's something that's reoccurring, right? And Donovan clearly was not your issue this year. That's the only reoccurring issue.
If there was a way to prevent injuries, every single team would do it. Like,
we'd all be healthy.
Figuring this out.
There's no finding a solution. Yeah, like, there's just guys that get hurt. Evan Mobley sprains his ankle on a tough closeout where Miles Turner lands on his ankle. Like, that's just something that happens in the play of basketball. Darius Garland's toe. That has nothing to do with the toughness, quote unquote, of Darius Garland. Well, I didn't disagree with what BP was saying, that, you know, maybe Garland has to find some different areas to get tougher, to actually, you know, beef it up and be a little bit stronger. Getting turf toe is not a question of physical toughness. You don't just figure that out. It's an oddity that happens and you get injured. Yes, the four teams in have been healthy, which to one point is just not something that obviously hurts them, and it's not something that I think is just a throwaway, like, oh, they just happen to be healthy. But some of these teams do battle, and they do find ways that while they're injured or playing through injury to continue to win games in the playoffs. If that's not an injury that keeps you out, and you can battle through it, like Jaylen Brown did this year, the partially torn meniscus or whatever they announced that he had.
Aaron Gordon
found a way to tough it out in Game 7 despite the Nuggets getting smacked around and ragdolled. Like, they still found a way to go. Like, you get injured. There's no solution to the problem that you're facing. It's just a matter of be healthy and hope that you get there. But when you're not, still find a way to win games. Everybody battles injuries. It just so happens that some teams figure out a way to play through them and still play well. The Cavs battled injuries. They still played. Those guys were capable of being on the floor. Evan Mobley's sprained ankle didn't stop him from dropping a 25 in Game 5. All it did was show to you that the team's not good enough. Injured or not, they were not good enough in that series. I hate the idea of, we just have to figure out how to be healthy in the playoffs. Congratulations, as does the rest of the NBA. Does it stop them 3 years in a row? That's not a solution to fixing this team. 216-474-0092. We'll keep the conversation going a little bit about the chance of keeping the core four together. Larry, I see you hanging on the line. We'll get to you coming back here in 5 minutes, as well as the station buzz. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on The Fan, coming up at 8 o'clock. We're going to talk a little bit of Browns. It's about 18 minutes time. But we're talking Cavs, or you can jump in at 216-474-0092. Station buzz coming your way here in just a couple of minutes as well. But I want to get out to the phones and get Larry and Maple Heights involved. What's going on, Larry?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. How about you?
Okay, I'm good. I got a whole bunch of cousins. They super crazy Cleveland fans. They think they should keep this core together. I don't think they should, because first of all, everybody wants to say these injuries. What about when they had them big leads and blew the leads?
Yeah, I mean, game two, you were injured, but you still had the lead. And with 45 seconds and a 7-point lead, I don't care if I'm out on the floor. You should probably hold on to that.
Yeah, you probably should hold on. That's what I'm saying. I don't agree with these injuries. They just don't have what it takes. And you need to tweak that core. Just like when Minnesota got rid of Anthony Towns, everybody thought that was a disaster move for Minnesota. Look where they at. And look where New York at.
Yeah, and
sometimes you got to make changes.
Yeah, exactly, Larry. That's a lot of what it is, and I appreciate you making the call. A lot of it is just sort of making the change, right, and switching things up. And it's kind of why I'm open to both because, again, I have seen what this team can do, and I'm waiting for it to happen in the playoffs. And if they're confident that they can actually get something to switch and work, and I mean confident from top to bottom. That's not just Kobe Altman being like, well, I put these guys together and I believe in what they can do. That's Kenny Atkinson looking at this team and going, no, 100%, this is a team that can make it work. That's Dan Gilbert looking at it and saying the exact same thing. That's the big thing for me. But, like, again, we've talked about this since the playoffs ended. There is a world where you can go and say injuries were a difference. This year for the Celtics, despite them blowing, like, 3 20-point leads within the series to the Knicks, you can look at it and say, well, maybe we were robbed at the opportunity of a 3-1 comeback without Jason Tatum on the floor. I think that's a legitimate part of that equation. And maybe that's not the best one as an example because they had already gone down. But like, there's times where you look at injuries on a one-year instance and say, okay, this team could not compete. I think actually the Warriors from this year is a pretty good example. Steph Curry goes down, yeah, you're probably not winning anything this year. 1 year as an example makes sense. You can't go 2-3 years and keep throwing injuries in the playoffs out is, well, this team just wasn't healthy. Well, guys, a lot of teams aren't healthy in the playoffs. At some point, it comes down to the players being able to be healthy because it's the same guys year after year that are constantly ending up injured in the big moments. And every team's playing under the exact same circumstances that you are. They manage to be healthy. They manage to be healthy adjacent and go on playoff runs at least in spread out years, and yet the Cavs can't climb over the hump and get there because it's a constant injury and it's constantly more and they seem not performing, but you have to be able to make that climb. You have to be able to get over that step. There's no figuring it out into being healthy. There's no special remedy. Kenny Atkinson playing the guys less minutes keeps you healthy through the regular season. I think it got you healthy going into the playoffs, but once you get there, it's about enduring pain, tweaking things and managing to play through it and still perform well, which the Cavs clearly have not done. And that's on an individual basis. Guys have to show up and do that, not teams as a whole. And that's what the Cavs lack. Again, we're talking Browns here coming up in about 14 minutes at 8 o'clock. But let's get to the most pressing things said by our station's guests today. Let's do it with the station buzz. All right, let's kick things off. Still talking a little bit of Cavs. Let's keep the conversation going there because Jimmy Watkins at Cleveland.com on with Baskin and Phelps today spoke on the possibility of splitting up the core four.
But when you, anytime you're a 64-win team that loses in the second round, I think you have to at least explore changing the scenery a little bit. And I believe they'll do that despite all their public messaging. It's due diligence at the very least.
Yeah, I think that's one of the big things, too, is that I listened to Kobe talk today, and there were parts that bothered me. His optimism, and I think the constant reinforcement of that optimism was a little irritating. But at the same time, we do have to operate under the understanding of, like, what was he going to go out there and say? Like, when it comes to splitting up the core four and moving on, right? The playoff and injury thing that we were just discussing may be a different story. But when it comes to, hey, how do you feel about these guys that you single-handedly put together and their chances at moving forward? So he's supposed to be like, Darius Garland, Jared Allen, they're on the trade block. Whoever wants them, phone lines are open. Like, no, he's going to reinforce that he likes his players. Even, I'm sure, after if he does make a trade this offseason, he will then continue to reinforce, hey, we traded Jarrett, but Jarrett's a really good player. We really like Jarrett. We just, you know, got something that we think is going to make this team better. So I think there's some anger that's well-deserved in listening to Kobe Altman, and then some of it that's like, okay, guys, there's only so much you can say. Because even if you say, I'm open to trading Darius, I'm open to trading Jared Allen, well, guess what? You don't trade one or either of those guys, you're in for a world of hurt. Okay, you're like, I'm open to splitting up the core four. Donovan doesn't want to split up the core four. Now you just made Donovan mad. You can't go and jump the gun on these things. You have to let them play out naturally. And there is like a touch of politics, a touch of sportsmanship into actually getting these things done. What Kobe said today was not the end-all be-all for me of, well, the core four is going to stay together. It's not even close. They should be fielding calls. And I think, like Jimmy sort of said there, I think they will be fielding calls on the core four and probably a couple of guys from beyond there as well. More Cavs talk today because Spencer Davies of Cleveland Cavaliers on SI on with Nick and JP on Afternoon Drive. And he talked about the pairing of Mobley and Allen and how maybe just not working the way that it was previously.
Jared Allen and Evan Mobley absolutely works together. But I think Evan has outgrown that pairing and is going to outgrow that pairing, I should say, better. I think that's something you can look at. And that's not disparaging Jared Allen. I think Jared Allen is absolutely an all-star caliber player. Here, his usage is so low that he's been kind of relegated to that cleanup guy, the guy who sets screens, the guy who protects the rim and doesn't do the sexy stuff.
Yeah, I think this is part of it too. Like, and we knew this going in and building out the core four. Guys, this was already something that most teams just don't do. Like, we look at our four players and we're like, all right, Donovan's on a tier of his own. Evan Mobley will hopefully get to that tier. And then Darius and Jared are sort of on that next tier down of like, they're still really good. They're all-star quality players, but they're not superstars. It's like, that's not the way that the NBA is built right now. It's not the way that you find a ton of success in going through in the current state of the league. It's usually, I need a superstar. I go out and get that guy, and that guy takes me to where I need to be. Look across the playoffs right now. The guys that are remaining. Sure, there's really good teams built out around them, but Jalen Brunson is a tier above the rest of his teammates, even though Karl Anthony Towns is really good. Brunson's still better. You can definitely look at the Timberwolves and say, okay, that's Anthony Edwards' team, and everybody else is at least probably two tiers below where Anthony Edwards is. And I think it still holds pat for even the Thunder and the Pacers, who are more well-developed, well-rounded teams. It's still Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's team, and it's still Tyrese Halliburton's team. They're still the star. They're the guy that shines. Even when you see Donovan take a step back, it's like, okay, Cavs are well-balanced. They have a lot of things that go right and a lot of good pieces, but there is an element of missing that superstar factor. And I think that's where the Mobley-Allen discussion sort of comes in. It's like, for Mobley to be able to take the step and play the dominant big role, there is an element to that of having to play the five and have the Cavs spread out. And Jared Allen being an all-star caliber guy, but being reduced to, well, he's kind of just a starter role. Like a guy that you just see as a starter and not as an all-star caliber player. That's not helping you. You're getting less out of good players. You want to be making a team where you're emphasizing the stars and then getting more out of lesser players, not the other way around, which is a lot of what it feels like the Cavs are doing. Ralph Facchiano on with Afternoon Drive as well. NFL First Fox Sports talked about the Browns finding their quarterback.
They need to identify, is Dylan Gabriel their guy for the future? Is Shador Sanders their guy for the future? And endure whatever bumps along the road they have to figure out to get there. My guess is they're putting their cards in Dylan Gabriel or Shador Sanders. And to me, that's the whole question. Whatever happens this year, when you get week 17, week 18, they need to know who their quarterback is going to be in 2026, or are they going into the draft again, hoping to find one?
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of the conversation around these guys is as we go through and we look at the Browns quarterback situation, what I've been sitting up here preaching to you guys is that, hey, you got to play the rookies. The rookies have to be understood as, are you really good? Are you somebody that is not stopping me from drafting a quarterback? And you need to see them. Playing the veterans don't do anything. Specifically, Joe Flacco doesn't do anything. Again, I've spewed this 50-plus times at this point, it feels like. You can't just keep turning back and saying, we want to win games this year. It's not a winning solution, and the Browns have to treat it as what it is. It can be a winning situation, but only if you're finding your quarterback and one of those guys produces. Anything else, I don't see as helping you all that much. More on what the Browns are doing. I'm going to play a clip from Cynthia Freeland of NFL Network, who was also on with Afternoon Drive today, and she talked about why the national perception is different when it comes to Pickett and Flacco.
Joe Flacco has been fun for, like, national media to watch, not to be offensive to Kenny Pickett, but he hasn't had that comeback story that Joe Flacco had, right? Like, Joe Flacco has just been, like, a storyline, right? We've talked a lot about him. People are just more used to saying his name than Kenny Pickett's. I don't think it has anything to do with a perception about skill or whatever. I think it has a lot more to do with that we've just been talking a lot more about him in recent years.
And I think that's a lot of where even Browns fans are at on it. Like, again, I say play the rookies. Part of that might also be play Kenny Pickett. As much as I don't have faith, I don't have a belief that he's going to be good, Joe's going to be fine. And everybody knows Joe's going to be fine. It's why it makes sense when you look at the room, you go, Joe Flacco might should and probably should be the starter. But this isn't about putting together the best team possible, unfortunately. It's a year where you need to find out what you have again. And that comes down to Kenny Pickett being the better answer for where the roster stands right now, and probably at some point transitioning into that, into Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. All right, that'll do it for this station, Buzz. Let's talk a little bit more Browns quarterbacks when it comes when we come back here in about 5 minutes, because I look at Joe Flacco, I look at Kenny Pickett, and we have a lot of conversations around trading some of these guys that I don't know are so realistic. 216-474-0092. It's coming your way at 8 on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.